I'm an addict named Brian G. And I'm a little vertically challenged, so I'm going to rearrange the, you know, stuff. All right. Okay. Speaker statement. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is the possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. I'm loud anyway. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories, because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Again, I'm an addict named Brian G. And first of all, I want to thank God, man, because only through his divine mercy, his tender grace and mercy, did he allow all of us to travel safely from where we came from today, you know, to be here to fellowship with one another. Okay, I also want to thank, obviously, you know, the host committee for inviting me to come up here from Florida, because that statement is accurate, man. If there's some of us who are willing to go a long, long way to carry this message that saved our lives, okay? It is my responsibility as a Narcotics Anonymous member to, when I'm called to service, to show up, all right? So I do that. Recovery and relapse, I mean, I like this topic because guess what? I'm a literature guy, so guess what? If you're offended by me referencing the literature or people who reference the literature, get over it. Get over it. I live by our literature. Our literature I take literally. I don't try to amend, take away, add to. I don't try to make it sound real fancy like, you know what I mean, fake it till you make it. Bull. I faked all my life, man. When I got here, y'all showed me in order to get help, man, I need to show up. And I don't mean physically. I need to bring myself to the table. Y'all told me, right? That even the basic text talks about that our best insurance against relapse in recovery and relapse, it reads that our best insurance against relapse is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. To give the message back as it was so freely given to us. Now I'm going to tell you again, if referencing the basic text gets on your nerves, leave. The hit is this. See, it took that jarring experience that recovery and relapse talks about. It took that jarring experience, that relapse experience, for me to apply a more rigorous effort in recovery. See, check it out. I got here in 95, right? And my very first meeting, I remember this vividly. When I made my very first meeting after treatment, right? I got in here because y'all ain't believe none of y'all, first of all, understand that I sold drugs all my life from teenage years. I used to hate y'all. I resented y'all. I seen y'all do some things with yourselves that disgusted me. I promised myself that I would never become one of you. When I made my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting, right? I'm sitting there and I'm watching the speaker and the chairperson, blah, 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 blah. And I see y'all pass that basket and get all this money. I'm thinking that these two cats is going to go in the back after the meeting and split the money. I'm sitting there thinking that you people were going to teach me how to get high anonymously. I'm sitting here, this was truly my first impression in Narcotics Anonymous. I used to come to meetings with gaiters on, shoes, brims. You know what I mean? At the time, my sponsor at the time, you know, told me, listen, man, how you expect some help if you ain't show up yet? I'm like, but man, I'm making meetings every day. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. I'm going to all the dances. He's like, dude. You sitting in the back, you scoping ladies, you doing this, you doing that, outside the meeting, yeah, you want a fellowship. You know, after the meeting, we want to go get coffee. We want to go break bread and sit closer to I can with the girl with the big butt. You know what I'm saying? See, he said, listen, man, that ain't showing up. He said, how you expect somebody to reach out to you, man, until you show up, until you bring yourself to the table, man? I didn't understand what he was saying. He was like, keep coming. You'll get it. I got insulted. Keep coming. Damn it, I'm coming. All right. At that point in time in my recovery, and this was in 95, at that point in my recovery, see, I managed to put a few days together, and I got like almost a couple years clean just by sticking around here and becoming abstinent, like our basic text talks about. Abstinence alone, guess what? I'm an intellectual, right? I thought I could like read this thing. So, you know, my purpose was simply to read this thing so I could sound real profound to you. The reality of it was that I wasn't applying any of the principles that I was talking about, man. I was coming here still selling drugs, still doing dirty, still running with 20 women. See, because I always needed somebody else to validate who I was. I didn't know what codependency was, man. I didn't understand what that was. The fact of the matter is that by the lacking of the teaching or guidance through the 12 steps, see, I had no idea how to identify who I was. So how could I bring myself to the table? The hit was this. It's like, all right, when I first got here, you know what I mean, in 95 and whatever, you know what I mean, I got hooked up with this little newcomer. Beautiful chick, you know what I'm saying, who was with somebody else currently. You know what I mean? And, you know, my good Sharon ass, you know what I'm saying, I'm going to go up there, I'm going to talk to her like, yeah, you know what I mean, that's all right, baby, I just wanted to, like, take you to dinner or something like that. Your man let you eat, right? I mean, we got to eat. You know what I mean? My intentions are honorable. Don't worry about it. Ain't nothing sideways. Down the line, see, this chick eventually left that cat and came with me. The second that happened, I went to my sponsor and was like, oh, man, yeah, I got it. That's it. He's like, man, she left him for you. What makes you think she won't do that to you? Never happened, right? A couple years later, it happened. Okay, and it was actually a direct result, and I'm sitting here and I'm not going into this relationship hit, and I'm not going into like the terror of the past kind of thing. That ain't what I'm saying, which I got to point to this. The reality of it is that I did not know my inner self, right? So, you know, I took over, you know, moved in with this chick, man, paid bills, did everything, man, blah, 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 like you're the queen, you know what I'm saying? Basically because it was a self-esteem issue for me to have this chick, you know what I mean, on my arm. Every event, we busting in buying new outfits. You know what I'm saying? Just, you know, renting tuxedos to go to the NA prom and you know what I mean? Buying plane tickets, you know what I mean? So that we can participate in every single daggone convention anywhere. And when we walked up in the room, that all eyes on us. If we walked into a room and everybody ain't looking at us, I'm looking at her like, what's wrong with you? I need to tell you that instead of making her a part of my world, she became my world. And when she left, she took my world with her. I need to tell you that the feeling of that emptiness inside me, man, is incredibly, I can't even describe to you to this day the emotional turmoil that I went. I hit a brick wall and then immediately relapse became an option. See, because for me, the drugs was a tool to get women in my bed. That's what it was for. It was the power that this substance had over other people. See, I'm a power junkie. You know, when I have control over certain things, man, the endorphins and the serotonin and all that medical crap comes boiling up in my brain, and I become Hitler. The thing about it is, man, is that understand this, right? Is that I didn't know I had a codependency issue. I didn't know I had a self-esteem issue. I didn't know I had a self-worth issue. I didn't know that, check it out, when I first got shot, because, yeah, I lost my legs in a gunfight, man. Though when I lost my legs, man, the only thing that I thought that anyone would want to be around me, right, especially any female would want to be with me, right, it had to be because of what I had. Because it couldn't be because of who I am. Why would anybody want to be with a crippled, impotent, self-serving asshole like me? Why would anybody want to really be loyal to that kind of cat? Why would anyone want to bring their love to the table to that kind of guy, man? The reality of it was I didn't know who I was at all, man. And the part that I didn't know, I hated, detested, didn't like. All my life came up. See, I'm the dark-skinned cat in my family. You know what I mean? I got the, like, not-so-good hair. So all my life, my siblings told me, you know, you're the darkie. You're the nappy-haired one. You're the short one. I'm the shortest one in my family. So I was always brought up with the fact that I was less than everybody. Fast forward. 99, man, I had an opportunity to get clean again. At this time, it came as the thank God for the gift of desperation. Because it was only through desperation, man. It was only through, you know, like I said, I've always been an intellectual. You know, I've always had good jobs and so forth. Never knew how to appreciate those things. I've always had blessings in my life, unable to see the blessing. Because it was always focused on what I didn't have. It was always easy for me to go up into a camp like this and see all these strapping young men and compare myself to that. And say, I don't have the ability or the physical ability or the way this cat looks or dresses or acts. I don't have the ability to love me because of what he's got. It was real struggle for me, man, to identify myself, man. Thank God for the step process. Let me tell you something, man. It was only through actively and deeply and heroically, all right, and with courage, working and looking at myself through the step process, that am I okay with me today? Let me give you this hit, right? When I first got clean, right, and I'm like, well, sponsor, you know what I mean? I don't know what to do, man. Nobody likes me. Nobody wants no chicks ever going to like me. He said, man, you got a problem with codependency. You got a problem with the need to take care of somebody else so that they'll think they need you so they'll stay with you. Tell you what, you want something to take care of? Buy a plant. Check it out. Now, me, somebody who's never took suggestions before, but see, because I know how to do this. I'm better than you. I don't need to do that. I don't need to take your little petty suggest stuff is stupid. Anyway, I took this one. I bought a palm tree. You know what I mean? About that big. Bought a palm tree. And just like that palm tree, right? That palm tree is 6 years old now. And just like that palm tree, my self-esteem, self-worth, and self-respect is 7 feet tall, man. Let me tell you something, man. It ain't easy to hurt my feelings no more. See, I don't carry my stuff on my sleeve anymore. I really don't give a damn about what you think about me anymore. Now, that's not saying to be selfish. But it's called being self-supportive. And y'all taught me how to do that. See, I don't need you to support me emotionally. I don't need you to come pat me on the shoulder and tell me I'm all right and I did a good job. I have that ability my damn self. I know the things I do well and I know the things that I don't. I took an honest assessment of who I am, man. And I got to tell you something, man. I live happy, reasonably, happy, joyous, and free because of it. I didn't audition for this. Somebody called me and said, B, come up from Florida and share for us. You know how, man, I don't understand. I don't know if you know, man, but it's kind of like, you know what I mean? Somebody give you a phone call out the blue, man. Right. And say, come, man, share your message of hope to the people in our area because we need you, man. All right, check this out. Step 12, in case you ain't got that far. We first began to enjoy relief from addiction. We ran the risk of assuming control of our lives again. Did I write this? We forgot the agony and pain we had known. Our disease controlled our lives when we were using. It is ready and waiting to take over again. Damn. We quickly forgot that our past efforts of controlling failed. By this time, most of us realize that the only way that we can keep what was given is to by sharing it, this new gift of life, with the still suffering addict. This is our best insurance against relapse. To the torturous existence of using. Did I write this? Let me tell you something, man. In the beginning of our literature, right, it talks about, and then what is the Narcotics Anonymous program? It talks about, right, those who make regular meetings regularly stay clean. Well, I don't know if regularly is good enough for you. I want to stay clean forever. So just like Moby Dick, right, take this. If you wanted to go read Moby Dick, do you start the novel from where the boat sinks? No. You start from Call Me Ishmael. And that's the symbol, man. I had to learn how to practice and live this literature to the best of my ability in my daily life. These are the things that I failed to realize. All right, dig this. I don't know nothing about bacon, right? But I do know I like a good cake. The thing about it is, hit this, right? I do know that in order to make a good cake, there's certain ingredients that you must have. Flour, sugar, water, milk, butter, blotty, blot. I don't know how to make a cake, y'all. I do know that if you take away just one ingredient, that cake is nasty. It's disgusting. Nobody's going to want your cake because it sucks. They're going to all talk about how bad your cake sucks. Let me tell you something, man. I had to apply that same kind of thinking to my recovery, right? I need to make meetings and sponsorship, work sponsorship, not only be a sponsee, but be a sponsor. It's my responsibility to do that. It's my job, man, to get in service on a capacity level with balance. Now, I'm not going to compromise my family life or my work life for service because there must be a balance. Dig this. Now, well, when you were getting high or doing whatever it was you were doing, all your family knew is you wasn't there. You make 5 meetings a day and you the head of 20 subcommittees, all your family know is you ain't there. There must be a balance. So I apply these principles. Y'all taught me this. Apply these principles, man, in my everyday routine. I can't overdo or underdo anything. There has to be a consistency. Y'all told me, B, show up. B, just show up, man. And whether people love you or hate you, guess what, man? You did your part. And believe it or not, being the arrogant son of an SOB that you are, because guess what? I can be that, in case you couldn't tell. The thing is that what's going to happen is by you showing up, you're going to attract the people who's trying to show up too. And the other ones who are not are going to fall by the wayside and you don't need them anyway. So I need to show up, man. All right, let me do this. I just didn't understand it. When I first got to Florida, man, I didn't understand what y'all were talking about. Like, check it out. Can't none of y'all relate to what I'm going through? None of you have no idea what I feel. None of you have been in my shoes. Why is that, B? Ain't none of y'all got wheelchairs. I was standing after a meeting with a group of fellas talking, you know what I mean, chatting and whatnot, you know what I mean? And one cat said to me, he said, B, exactly what is it that you mean? That we can't help you or we can't relate, blah, 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 blah. And there was this flight of steps, and I use this as an example. I'm like, fellas, what if one by one y'all looked at me and say, yo, B, I'm going to go upstairs, I'll be right back. Yo, B, I'm going to go upstairs, I'll be right back. Yo, B, I'm going to go upstairs, I'll be right back. Now, you need to understand that the one obstacle in my life is a flight of steps. You need to understand that one by one these guys are gone, and eventually I'm alone. I'm isolated. I'm segregated. And this cat told me, man, it's like me telling me, because I have the use of my legs, I don't know what it feels like to be isolated or segregated or lonely or abandoned. I can't relate to those feelings because I don't have a chair. F you, man. You full of shit. Dig this. Do this, man, and I'm going to shut up. Do me a favor, man. If everybody in the room would follow along with just for a sec, just indulge me. All right? Let's close your eyes for a second. We're going to take like a mental journey into our own personal life, our own history. If we can remember back to those days, man, even no matter how far you got to go back, even to childhood, man, to find those days where you were once happy, joyous, and free. Take a second there and then fast forward a little bit to your first get high. The first day you thought you was having fun or joining the crowd or becoming part of. Fast forward a little bit to that last day getting high. Remember the dereliction and the dirty and smelly and nasty and funky way you felt at that time. Open your eyes. We all in recovery, baby. We right here. We right here, and we ain't got to go back there. We ain't got to go back there, man. Relapse is not a necessity. It's not a requirement. But it may be part of your story. And it may be part of the jarring experience necessary to practice a more rigorous effort in recovery. I'm an addict named Brian G. Thank you.
Once again, family, I'm Supreme. I'm a grateful recovering addict. And now we would like to introduce Sammy from New York. Yes,
my name is Sammy. I'm an addict. The first thing first, I want to thank God for another day clean. And second, I want to thank God for waking up this morning, because a lot of people didn't wake up this morning. The Kaisenam is worse, we do recover. You know, I want to thank the committee for asking me to come share my experience with Hope on recovery and relapse. It's good to be clean on a Saturday afternoon. You know, before I start sharing on recovery and relapse, I want to get some things out the way. My home group, it's called Serious Step Meeting. That's right. And we meet there on Sundays at 5:30 in Lower Manhattan on 15th Street between 1st and 2nd Avenue. We come out the Stericken Guide book. It's a 2-hour meeting. It's a very mature meeting. If you're around the area on 15th Street or 5:30 on Sunday, right, come and visit my home group. And I guarantee you, you'll hear a message. And the reason why you'll hear a message is because I'm the chairperson at that meeting. And I'm not saying that out of arrogance. It's the difference between confidence and arrogance. Literature talks about in the 12th edition, we pick up information as we talk to members and visit various groups. Real confident in my personal recovery. A lot of people in my area perceive me as being arrogant, but if you get to know me and hang out with me, you'll find out that I'm confident in my belief system. Yeah, I'm grateful for this program. I don't know about some of y'all, I'm impressed about my clean time. Not only I'm impressed about my clean time, I'm impressed about the motivation and enthusiasm I had towards my recovery. I've been clean 14 and a half years, and I have a powerful disease called addiction that will check in from time to time just to see if the ideals and thoughts of staying clean is paying off. Now check this out. That doesn't necessarily come in the form of drugs. I get into that in a few minutes later down the line. You know, I'm happy. I'm excited to be here in Ocean City on April the 8th of 2006. You know, When we talk about recovery relapse, like, a couple people in my area, right, I need to share this, right, a couple of people in my area asked me, Sammy, how can you share on recovering relapse and you never relapse with drugs? I said, listen here, let me share something with you. Relapse doesn't always come in the form of drugs, y'all. We don't talk about in the fellowship, right, how relapse happens long before you pick up the drugs. I'm talking about spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. And how about this one, before I get started? How about relationship issues? I have a lot of experiences, right, in this journey here. And when I got clean, I had to go to a funny farm. And that funny farm was a therapeutic community. I stayed there for 29 months. I made a decision on December of 93 to come to Narcotics Anonymous. And you talk about making a decision? That was a major decision for me. And I came to this program, I wanted to get better. I knew my track record, staying clean, was not paying enough, and I had to do some different things. And the vicious cycle about me, you check this out, I came from a very good family. My mother was a sponsor of mine. She was my first sponsor. I was the only child, and I was a mama's boy. And my mother, right, not only was she was a sponsor, my mother was a good sponsor. She taught me more as advice, I just didn't listen to her. She told me one day, if you don't listen to me, one day you'll have to listen to somebody else. And I understand what she was talking about because I was immature, I was stubborn, irresponsible. I just didn't want to get better as a kid growing up based on my mother sponsoring me. And when I came to this program, right, I made a lot of mistakes. I'm talking about, it was so important for me, check this out, and I ain't here to step nobody's toes. Everybody in this fellowship is not sponsorship material. And I'm sharing with y'all, right, it was so important for me to get a good Narcotics Anonymous sponsor, and I was blessed to get a good Narcotics Anonymous sponsor that was going to guide me to the 12 steps. I came in with 2.5 years clean. I thought I had all the answers. I thought I could stay clean by myself. But like the legend talks about self-sufficiency is a lie. I told him I had to go through what I had to go through based on not learning how to live life without the use of drugs. And I'm talking about mistakes were so important for me early in my recovery. Because sometimes God will make you stumble before you can walk. Sometimes God will put you in situations for you to build character. So I'm talking about the mistakes that I made, right, was a blessing. And sometimes I beat myself up early in my recovery because I was still immature, right, and I would get into self-pity. But I come to find out, right, that when I came to this program, I wanted to get involved. I became an active member of this fellowship, and I'm talking about when I got to the recovery process, right? Now, I'm going to share with you, right? The recovery process does not begin until you get to the 12 steps. Not only that, right? Listen up. A lot of people think that just because you make meetings, that does not mean that you're recovering. I'm talking about coming to meetings, right? When it's sitting in the back, right? Because I don't know about some of y'all, I don't put myself in a position to relapse. What I'm sharing with y'all, right, I don't go around the spot. The spot is the bars and clubs. I have nothing in common, right, with people who use drugs. I'm real serious about my recovery, but I don't take myself serious all the time. I have a will, God's will, right, is to have a sense of humor. But I'm sharing with y'all, right, that how important it is, right, to get into the recovery process before you relapse based on the drugs. Because I'm sharing with y'all, right, like the first step in Wayside Wide talks about a reservation could be anything. You can have a reservation, right, by getting into the relationship and always want to keep going back to the relationship that's affecting your spiritual conditions. I'm sharing with y'all, right, that for my experiences of being here, I got to learn and study my disease on a daily basis. I have to constantly maintain, right, and be consistent based on a 10-step inventory process, man. I live by myself and it feels good like a motherfucker. You know why it feels good? Because I'm comfortable with my own skin. I'm talking about I had to take the journey, right, a day at a time to get into the recovery process. I'm going to go back and forth with recovery relapse with y'all. I had to go through the recovery process to find out who I really was. Because the steady working guy in the fourth step tells us about how can you like yourself when you really don't know who you are. I'm talking about by looking at myself, right, and looking at my assets and liabilities, right, I come to find out Sammy is confident in his belief system. I'm real punctual. I've been on my job 7 years now, and I've never been late. And like the fourth step talks about, addicts have a tendency to think negative. And I came from a very good family. My mother was a tough lady. She'd tell you in a store, right, because my mother had her own business, right, she'd tell you, get the fuck out of my store. If you're talking all that negativity shit, I won't hear that. So I learned a lot of things about how to live life with my mother. And I so was grateful, right, to get a good Nakash Diamond sponsor who got me to the 12 steps. You know, we come here, right, want to go to parties and dances. That's all fine and dandy. I want to read something with y'all through the, just for the day. Now, I'm going to share something with you, right? You don't have to read just for the day when it's just for the day. I'm going to give you a strong suggestion. Go to the back of the index. Especially when somebody asks you to speak on a topic. Because this book here, right, has a lot of information in it. We're talking about a daily meditation book to look at yourself. I want to read something with y'all, right? It says, there's lots to like in the Nakash Diamonds. The meetings, for one, are great. We get to see our friends, hear some inspiring stories, share some practical experiences, maybe even hook up with our sponsor. The campouts, the conventions, the dances are all wonderful. Clean fun in the company of other recovering addicts. Now listen to this here. I like this part right here. But the heart, it says the heart. We're talking about right here, y'all. But the heart of our recovery program is the 12 steps. In fact, they are the program. They are the program. We hear it said that we can't stay clean by osmosis. In other words, we can't just attend meetings. I just said that. Just because you make meetings, does that mean that you're recovering? No matter how many, and check this out, we can't just attend meetings no matter how many and expect to breathe recovery and through the pores of our skin. Recovery, as another saying goes, is an inside job. And the tools we use in working that inside job are the 12 steps. In my recovery, I always look for a mature solution to a spiritual problem. My mother's slogan was, always look your best. My mother was a dressmaker and a seamstress. So when I came here with the same belief system that my mother taught me as a kid growing up. And I realized, like the literature talks about, what we know about living almost killed us. So I came in here with the same belief system like I practiced active addiction. And when I got clean, right, the mistakes that I made was based on coming here, right, with some gambling issues. Now we're talking about relapsing, right? Now I'm sharing with y'all, right, until I got sick and tired with my gambling issue, I didn't let go. And I thank God, right, when I came to this program, right, that when I let go of the gambling issue, like the first step talks about we rationalize and justify and substitute. After I let go of the gambling issue, right, with 3.5 years clean, I come to find out, right, I came to this program with some sexual behavior issues. And after addiction, I wasn't getting no sex. So when I came in here, I rationalized and justified it's time for me to make up the loss that I wasn't getting after addiction. Now, this is why it's so important, right, to study your disease and find out who you really are. Because if you don't know who you are, you can't see yourself coming. So I'm talking about the obsession compulsion, right? And I'm going to take a risk, right? A lot of people go around and talk about it's always about the drugs. I beg to differ with that.
Yeah, me too.
The first step in the directing guide talks about what makes us an addict. Mm-hmm. It says not the drugs. It says not our behaviors, but our disease. And I'm coming here, right, with 5.5 years clean, right, come to find out in my fifth year in recovery, right, my mother died with colon cancer. What you going to do now, Sammy? Unhealthy belief system, right? Thinking that somebody's supposed to take care of me. My mother was my neighbor. I lived with my mother 33 years. And before she died, she said, Sammy, it's time for your ass to grow up and be responsible and start learning how to pay bills. You talk about a scared little boy with 5 years clean, immature, irresponsible. What you gonna do now, you good sharing ass motherfucker? Your mother's gone. With 5 years clean, it was no joke then. I'm talking about, you know, the legend talks about The core of our disease is self-centeredness. Now, if you go to the fourth step in the Works of High Wild book, right, it talks about our spirit shows that self-centered fear is at the root of our disease. Now, there's a difference between, I won't start teaching, right, but there's a difference between a core and a root. I'm going to give you an example, a tree. This is why it's so important to study your disease. The root, right, is underneath the tree.
In the ground.
In the ground. Thank you, B. And the core is in the middle.
In the center.
Now, the literature talks about self-centered fear is the root, y'all. So I'm talking about the fourth step. I got to strip away the layers and onions, man. I'm talking about the layers, man. I'm talking about being locked and loaded, right, and sexual behavior issues. My mother had died. I was left in a spiritual void, and I used a lot of women in fellowship to fill a void with, y'all. I'm going to give you an example. Went to an anniversary in my area. A good friend of mine was celebrating clean time. And there was five women at that meeting that I was having sex with. And plus, my main woman was there too. I'm talking about living in illusion, think that I can handle this shit. And I was the last speaker at this anniversary. And my sponsor was there too. And when I got there to share, right, I said, my name is Sammy. I'm an addict. Kathy, I love you a lot. And thank you for letting me share. I'm going to share something with y'all, right? When you're not living right, when you're not living right, and your spirit is not right, your spirit is gloomy and doomy. If you ain't living right, you can't carry the message. That's my personal experiences. So my sponsor was sitting in the back. He said, Sammy, bring your ass over here. We need to have a talk. I ain't never heard you share for less than a minute before. You can get clean and be inside of a Kashinama's meeting and be paranoid in the meeting. Because your spirit ain't right. And I was sharing with my girlfriend earlier, right, that you can get clean and have thoughts of committing suicide. I'm talking about, you know, literature talks about you're going to make a decision, either grow up or you're going to die. And when I say die, I'm not talking about a physical death, y'all. I'm talking about dying slowly, slowly of a spiritual death. And that's why it's so important, right, through a 10 step to monitor your attitudes, your behaviors, your thoughts, and your feelings. And not only that, you got to monitor the good times, because the good times can be a trap. That shit will set you up. It will set you up. The disease is powerful, y'all. I'm talking about bad fitness in the cities and cunning, man. That's why I got to constantly look at myself. So when I go home, I'm looking at myself through a 10-step inventory. One of the questions I always ask myself, right, was you good to yourself today? I don't need just for the day, right? I don't need a body to validate who I am today. And that's because of raising the bar in my fifth year in recovery. The process of recovery, right, did not happen to me until after my fifth year. I had to make a decision, right, to either grow up or die. Your mother's gone now. My mother was my sponsor. She was my enabler. And she took care of me for 33 years, y'all. So we're talking about, based on self-centered fear, right? Using people, it's all about me. I'm talking about getting to the exact natures of my wrongs. I had to go share with my sponsor, right, that I'm scared to use drugs. And still am with 14 and a half years clean. But I still want to use women in this fellowship, y'all, to fill a void. Because my spirit is empty. So I had to constantly do some inventory work in my fifth, my sixth year, and my seventh year. And I had the opportunity, right, to make amends, right, to my mother before she died. And I was so grateful for doing that. But at the time when she died, right, I had to put her on my first eight-step list. She was the first person. And I described, right, the harm that caused my mother, man. And you talk about the freedom that we talk about. It's a wonderful thing, newcomer, right, to experience freedom from active addiction. When we talk about letting go of the session, compulsion to use drugs. That's all fine and dandy. But I come to find out through my personal experience, right, is that the real freedom does not happen until you start to establish a working relationship with God. And not only that, right, how about with yourself? And it takes a great deal of effort and work to do that, to get to that point. It's not going to happen overnight. And I believe, right, that you don't relapse overnight either. It's a process that you go through that people don't talk about. How about the spiritual lapse?
Come on, man.
How about the emotional lapse?
Yes.
That's why, you know, me and my sponsor always talk about this, right? It's dangerous for an addict to be undiagnosed with a deadly disease called addiction. If you ain't been diagnosed to the first step, right, you can't see yourself coming to the disease of addiction. You know, we all know that Magic Johnson has HIV. And I was listening to him a couple months ago, right? He was having a conversation on TV with somebody, and he told a person, anytime that you get diagnosed with any kind of disease, whether it's HIV, cancer, hepatitis C, diabetes, if you do not treat that disease, soon or later, it's going to break your back. You know why people relapse a whole lot with substantial clean time? Because they live in the first step. From time to time, right, with 14 years, I had to relive the first step. We talk about the start of the foundation. And I ain't just talking about drugs, right? I'm talking about personal unmanageability. I got to see myself coming, y'all. If I can't see myself, check this out. If I'm not diagnosed, right, I can't see myself coming based on my defects and shortcomings. I have a wonderful job. Been there 7 years now, longest job I've ever been in. And I've been on my job 7 years, never been late. I might not be important to y'all if y'all got a job, but it's important to me. You know why? Because when it's time for annual evaluations every year, I get a good raise. So I think about doing, based on my assets, I use my assets because I know who I am. I see myself coming. So being on this job 7 years, I form a reputation, right, on my job based on self-respect. I demand respect. You know why? Because I respect myself. My supervisor's boss, right, gave me the opportunity last week. He called me in his office, and I thought I did something bad. But I know me and him kind of have a built-in relationship. He called me. He said, Sammy, I respect you a lot. I like the way you carry yourself on the job, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to go back to school free. And I'm sharing with y'all, right, the recovery process. I ain't just talking about sharing like Shakespeare for an hour and a half in a meeting. I'm talking about taking a show on the road. And a lot of my co-workers look up to me. I'm like the union rep on my job without a union. I was nominated, right, the committee secretary. If any problems, my co-workers come to me with problems. There's a difference between being assertive and being aggressive. And I'm real assertive on my job. And a lot of people look up to me because of the way I carry myself. That's only because of the 12 steps, y'all. I'm talking about the freedom that we talk about. Freedom is not free. So on an honest basis, right, to be honest with you, right, I got to look at myself and see myself how I'm really living. And I had the opportunity, right, to make some amends recently. And my experience of being here, the ninth step separates the men and women from the boys and girls. We ain't talking about drugs in the ninth step. We talking about repairing relationships. We talk about restitution. Now, churches are restitution is not one of my favorite principles in the 12 steps. Okay, you can identify with that being. Sometimes I don't like paying back. You know, I'm sharing with you, right? Living by myself, sometimes, right, I get up with my disease thinking and I start scheming. I woke up one day last year. And, you know, my disease comes at me through money and sex. And my money was getting kind of low. And I was asking myself some questions. How can I get some more money? Without causing harm. So, I went across the street, right, on my job. And I went to human resources on my job. The payroll, actually. I might be helping somebody when I'm about to share. I know I am. Went across the street, right. I had one dependent and one exemption. I'm sharing with y'all how powerful disease is, y'all. It would check in from time to time just to see if the ideas and thoughts of staying clean is paying off. Went across the street and changed my dependence, which I had one, and I changed it to 9, y'all. I think some of y'all could identify with that. I'm talking about God coming here to use me to help somebody. So, this happened last summer. I'm 43 years old. I have no kids. I'm talking about a lot of my exact natures, my wrongs in the recovery process have been based on greed. So for about 6 months in a row, my check was looking good every 2 weeks. I enjoy going to conventions. I like to shop till you drop. And I like to have fun. And it costs money to really get to deep down inside.
Yeah, yeah.
It costs money to really live and enjoy life.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It costs money.
Yeah.
Especially living in New York City.
Yeah.
I'm from the boogie down Bronx, y'all. It costs money. Obsessive behavior, right, is a common denominator for addictive people. We have times when we try to fill ourselves up until we are satisfied, only to discover that there is no way to satisfy us. Part of our addictive pattern is that we can never get enough. Sometimes we forget, and we think that if we can just get enough food, or enough sex, or enough money, we'll be satisfied, and everything will be all right. Self-will still leads us to make decisions based on manipulation, ego, lust, or forced pride. We don't like to be wrong. I can identify with that. Self-righteous is one of my glaring defects. Our egos tell us that we can do it on our own. But loneliness and paranoia quickly return. We find that we cannot really do it alone. When we try things, it gets worse. We need to be reminded of where we come from and that our disease will get progressively worse if we use. This is when we need the fellowship, y'all. Second step, I got to expose. Got to expose it. In order for me to get some restoration, I got to stop doing based on the first step. Completely stop, y'all. And I'm so grateful, right, that this program gave me the opportunity, right, to really look at myself. Because I don't know if some of y'all can identify with this. I have a big fear of using drugs. I'm going to take a risk with y'all. I don't know if it's a risk or not. You know, I hear a lot of people going around talking about I'm an arm and a lift weight for using drugs.
Help them out.
I'm so confident when I'm at in my personal recovery, I'm going to share a statement with y'all. And some of y'all might look at me like I'm crazy when I'm about to share this. I'm incapable of using drugs. And I say that with conviction. You know why I'm incapable of using drugs? And Lynchard backs me up, and I'm going to share it in a minute. That's because I don't go to the spot. I don't hang around people, places, and things. Now, check this out, right? The spot. It's not just in the bars and clubs. The spot can be right in the fellowship, too. Who you hanging around with? You will attract who you are. I have choices today through freedom, y'all. The 11th step in the Stoical guy talks about we might lose friends as we go spiritually. Now, check this out. Recovery Relapse talks about we had never seen a person who lives the Nikai Stamas program relapse.
Never seen.
And just for the day, I am living right, y'all. I'm happy about the whole goddamn thing. Listen. If you have relapse with drugs, right, I'm glad you're back. I use an addict as welcome in our meetings. Third Tradition says that. But we try to encourage people to keep coming back. I be hearing dumb shit talk about the fellowship will fail you, but the program won't. That's that dumb shit. That's that drunk shit. You're giving a newcomer misinformation. We said the fellowship don't work, y'all. First Tradition says we all need each other. Unity is a powerful word. It's a must. Not only that, it's a vital must. Be careful what you're saying here. Newcomer needs encouragement. Never dumb shit. Change is hard. Change is not hard. It's the resistance to change. Literature talks about, it says most addicts, it don't say some. Now, if you read the literature right, the key words are so important, like the word however.
Yeah.
We hear the word however, shit gonna change up. Basic text talks about most people resist recovery.
That's right.
Now, that's a large percentage of this worldwide fellowship here. It don't say some. It says most. It goes back to who you're hanging around with. Who's sick in recovery. I have a choice to surround myself with people who are on the same path I'm going at. I don't hang around people who are gloomy and doomy. I had the opportunity, right, 6 years ago, and I'm going to share as a closing, to experience a spiritual experience. When I was 10 years old, I always had a dream of going to Hollywood, California. My first sponsor moved to L.A. about 9 years ago. He said, Sammy, you're coming out here one day. So I said, I can't afford it. So he put my tape in to the committee out there in Los Angeles, California, about 6 years ago. And they called me, right, and come ask me to speak at the men's rep. I was so happy to get the opportunity, right, to go to California for the first time. But I had a goal and a dream. Literature talks about when the drugs go and the addict works the program, wonderful things happen. Lost dreams awaken and new possibilities arise.
Right.
When I was on that plane going to L.A., I'm scheming on the plane. How can I tell my sponsor to take me to Hollywood, California? So when I got to LAX, I said, listen, I want to thank you for putting my tape in. I'm honored to speak at the men's rap, but that's not the reason why I really wanted to come out here. For the past 35 years, I always wanted to go to Hollywood. So my sponsor said, what you want to go to Hollywood for? When you take me out there, when we drive out there, I'll tell you the reason why. He took me around hillbillies and all that kind of shit. I got a chance to see the houses, Eddie Murphy house and all kind of stuff. We riding around and, just security cars riding around, just check the houses and shit. And they're following me and my sponsor because we black. So he took me to Hollywood. God bless him. His name is Goat. I'm going to share this, how important this is based on the first edition. You know, people go around and talk about, my name is Billy S. I'm giving you an example. What happens when emergency come up and you have to go to the hospital?
Come on, man.
My man Goat said, if you're a member of a home group, if you don't know the person's last name, and we build relationships in this fellowship here. Mm-hmm. If emergency happens, you have to go to hospitals to see a good friend of yours, and you got to make phone calls, tell a friend, tell an addict, telegraph. What's Billy's last name?
Nobody knows.
If you go to the hospital, and a security guard asks you, what's Billy's last name? I can't identify his last name. I have a sponsee, right? He's bigger than me, 6'5", weighed about 320. He was in the hospital 5 years ago. I went to the hospital in my area. I said, his name is Big Lou. And I was just sponsoring him at the time. I couldn't identify his last name. I couldn't see him. So I'm going to share with y'all. I'm on Hollywood Boulevard with the stars on the ground, the walk-a-thon stars on Hollywood Boulevard. I'm looking for my name. You know, you smoke cracks, and after the cracks is gone, you're still thirsty. And you're looking for shit to put in your stem, like plastic and all kind of shit. I'm on my knees on Hollywood Boulevard. So a tourist from England comes up to me. He says, excuse me, sir, why are you on your ground looking for something? I said, I'm looking for my name. So the England man says, you have a famous name? I said, yes, I have a famous name. So I took my ID out and I showed him. He said, wow, that's your name? I said, that's my name. So he helped me look for my name on Hollywood Boulevard. And my sponsor's across the street. And jaywalking is illegal in California. So I told my sponsor, I'll find it before you find it. So I'm looking, going down Hollywood Boulevard on my knees. And I finally see my name. After 35 years, yo. Dreams do come true through the recovery process if you work the 12 steps. Wonderful things happen. I have a famous name. I'm going to share with y'all because you never know. Because I'm a traveling addict. I go up and down the East Coast. You never know what's going to happen. I have a famous name. My name is Sammy Davis Jr. Lost dreams awaken, new possibilities arise. Wonderful things happen. Hang around people who are living and enjoying life, y'all. This is not a joke. This is a life and death matter. My life is online. Recovery Relapse talks about going to meetings regularly reduce the shock of change. I make meetings for 14 and a half years because meetings still make sense to me after 14 and a half years. My life is online. I'm happy, joyous, and free, living and enjoying life. God has blessed me to be a commodity. I'm a valuable asset, not just to the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm a valuable asset to society. Because if you can't get along with people in this fellowship here, how the hell are you going to get along with people on your job? We get the information here, and we take the show on the road, y'all. I want to thank y'all for listening. If I help somebody, give God the credit.
That's right.
Don't give it to me.
That's right.
You know, thank you.